because the part where she's talking is a little bit later. For this talk, what we're going to do is we're going to read a Bible passage together, and then we're going to break up into small groups, maybe like three to four people per group, and we're going to discuss the Bible passage. And we have some questions written out here, so you can answer them on the paper or write them in your notebook, however you want. We'll have about 15 minutes to discuss the Bible passage in our small groups. Then we'll come back together here and we'll share together again for like another 15 minutes maybe. And then afterwards we will have some things, Ibrahim will have some things to share on the passage. And then again at the end, based on how much time there is, we'll break up and we'll pray about the things that we all talked about. Let's just read the passage all together first. It's Mark 9, 14 through 29. And if somebody would like to volunteer to read that. Not in English. But if you can just come to the mic, because the recording, we're just recording this for some others who aren't here, and the recording goes through the mic. So...
14-29. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd about them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a dumb spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has he had this?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You dumb and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting."
Okay, so I'm going to just read the questions now, but I'll also hand them out to you, and they'll be with you in the group. So this passage, we're especially focusing on the relationship of the Father and the Son with Jesus. So the first few questions are just about the passage, and then later on about how it applies to us. So first question, what was the problem that this Father and Son had, and what did the Father do about it? Second question, what were the symptoms of the spirit that was oppressing the boy? And third question, what was Jesus' response to the Father? Fourth question, did the Father have strong faith in Jesus or not, according to verse 24? Number five, what did Jesus do? Number six, what does this story teach us about our role as a parent when our child is struggling with something? Or by extension, I put also it's a role of a spouse when our husband or wife is struggling with something. Although this story is about a father and a son, a lot of the principles can apply to a spouse relationship. And number 7, if there's time in your discussion group, there's a very similar passage in Mark 7, 24 through 30, but this time it's about a woman and her daughter. So you can go back and ask those same questions about the father and all that. You can ask them about this passage in Mark 7 and answer them also about this woman and her daughter. Okay? So why don't we go ahead and split up into groups of 3 or 4, and I will hand out the papers. You can sit at tables if you want to, or you can sit in little circles or something, whatever is easiest. Okay, I think let's come back together and we'll do some group discussion. And let's sit close this time, you know, so because there's not that many of us. Okay, so let's share what we got in the groups. Let's share question by question. So we'll read the first question and get kind of each group to share about it and then do it like that. So, first question, what was the problem the father and son had, and what did the father do about it? I'll just pass it this way, we can go around.
The father and son had a problem wherein there was no communication because the son couldn't speak. He was under something the father couldn't understand. The father, of course, had some frustration with that, and he needed to find some help.
It was a long time problem, too, because it says since his childhood. So the father had been going through it a lot. So we know of a family where they have a boy severely handicapped, and he can't talk to us, but the parents can understand him, but we can't understand him. Except when you do something kind to him, you can tell that he's blessed by that, but you can't get the words back from him that he's trying to say. He is trying to say something, but
the situation was kind of dire because he was being thrown into the water, thrown into the fire. I imagine from a parent's standpoint, that's pretty alarming. You know, you don't want to see your kid harming himself, and you don't know what to do. You know, because there's no doctor to go to that's going to give him a prescription of this, that, or the other thing to calm down. So he was looking for the great physician, and when he heard the disciples there and saw some changes being made for other people, I imagine his faith grew.
Can't imagine the amount of time and courage it must have taken to get to the point where you finally had to go out in front of this large crowd and say, I've tried just about everything I can do, and it looks like there's actually a solution here at the front of this crowd. Let me go ask.
Yeah, I have the notes. The problem was obviously demon possession, but especially that it was dumb and that the disciples had been useless, and I think they have some scribes here or Pharisees, and they're also useless. And so they've gone to anybody else humanly that they can and had no resolution. So who's next? The father first brings him to the disciples and gets no satisfaction from that, and then Jesus.
You guys already said everything I wrote down. We said the son was demon-possessed and the father didn't know what to do, so he was seeking the help of the disciples. And we mentioned that he was mute and deaf and sounded like he was having seizures, and the spirit was trying to kill him. We actually said that his first response was to bring the boy because we thought the first part that he said was not addressed to the father. So.
Sorry, I'm so far away. We said that the first response of Jesus was to rebuke the father for his lack of faith because the father says to him, if you can, do something. And Jesus is like, what is this if you speak of? If you can, and then he's like, anything's possible for those who believe, inviting his faith to get into gear instead of just be like, maybe you can, maybe you can't, which is useless.
So Jesus' response to the...
He said all things are possible to him who believes, so he didn't just limit it to everything's possible to me. He widened it to all of us.
I think that was all the groups.
Who wants to take it?
Well, he has faith, but he also says
he said, I believe, but help my unbelief. So we had both.
We said, yes, he has belief, but he recognizes his weakness. And I think that as a father or a parent, that's significant that we can be able to say, we believe, we have a measure of faith, but we also have areas of weakness and we need help.
We said that he had not much faith at first, but that he was struggling to have faith and trying to, and he invited God to help him have more faith. Jesus rebuked the spirit permanently, which is nice.
He rebukes the spirit and tells him never to return.
I think one of the lessons is that even if there's nothing that we can do ourselves, we should seek out help and seek help from the Lord and also from other brothers and sisters.
Ditto.
That we should come to God with belief and confess our unbelief. And from the other story that we read about the mother, the need to be humble too and persistent, but not easily deterred.
Go to Jesus with faith, not without faith, and then intercede for your child and ask God for more faith if needed.
Like the dad sought out Jesus, the woman sought out Jesus, and was not deterred by Jesus first saying no, which I thought was very similar to when I sell things, is that when the customer says no, it doesn't mean no. It means you need to explain it better and persist in what you want the Lord to do for you. So if you don't see an answer first in your ask for the Lord to help you with a particular problem or a particular thing with your child or a particular health problem, that you might think the first answer is no, but the answer is possibly I need to persist in asking more.
I think sometimes when we're asking the Lord for something on behalf of someone you love, at least for me, there have been times where I have feelings of insecurity that kind of crop up because I've tried all the things in my own strength, and I think that's consistent with these stories, is that, you know, you do everything that you can and you've come to the end of yourself, just that persistence in asking the Lord regularly on behalf of the one you love for their freedom, for their deliverance, for their whatever it is that is on our hearts on behalf of those that we love. And I think pressing in, you know, when we feel insecure about a particular thing, because I know that sometimes I'll hear about moms who are... lots of people have opinions about how they ought to raise their child or do this or do that, you know, and for them to be able to seek the Lord and trust the Lord for his help and not have fear about what everybody else says or how it ought to be is just something that I was thinking about.
That was so good. Really amazing to hear those things. And it's just such a deep passage. I think there's so much we can learn from it. So I think Ibrahim's going to share some thoughts on it now, too. And a lot of it really overlaps with what you guys said.
Okay, I'm going to try in English. So excuse me if there's something that was unclear. You guys were amazing. You hit the goal like with most of the questions. I'm going to share something like, as I told Mr. Bruce, as a new father and new husband also, it's not that much experience. Something I had learned recently about that, and I'm really like trying to grow more in it. In verse 17, one of the most important symptoms was like, the spirit made the boy muted. And as Mr. Humble said, like, he has no voice. And sometimes we'll struggle. One of our families will be struggle in something, and the spirit will make him, like, muted. He can't, like, cry to the Lord. He can't pray or do something, and they will go away. So our role in this, like, to be in behalf of them, and, like, the father was trying so hard. He went to the discipleship first. They didn't success. He went to Jesus again, and he was keep trying to do something because, like, his son can't do anything. So he's supposed to do something on behalf of him. He's the father. He's, like, one of the parents. It's not just the father. It's any one of the parents. And... something that happened for the boy since he was a child, and a lot of us were struggled with something, like, as we also shared with Brian, something in the family before since we were a child. So it's gonna be a long time we're struggled with something, and maybe it takes us a lot to notice that we are, like, in this problem. We need to, like, change. And Jesus, like, felt with the father, and the father was, like, crying a lot to him, like, with tears, not just, like, telling him. And in some point he confessed, like, I believe, but also I am tired, and, like, I can't, you know. I'm trying so hard in too many ways, but, and that's something we'll pass by as a parent. You know, we'll do a lot, and in too many ways, and be like, our families will keep asking, they will not stop. Like my dad and my mom, too, both. Now they are not just have eight kids. They have eight kids and like their suppose and their kids. It will not stop. So they will keep asking. But at some point, like the father said, like, I believe, but also help my unbelief. And go again to when Jesus called this spirit in verse 25, you mute and deaf spirit. He focused on this because that's like one of the most important symptoms the kids has. As he's, like Mr. Humble said, it's there's no communication. The kids like were out, like he was stolen by Satan. And this is so hard. And Jesus said at the verse 28 or 29, sorry, like this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. I don't know. Yeah, it's an Arabic prayer and fasting. Yeah, it's something hard. It's not something easy as a parent to do in behalf of our children or like one of our family. Like as a husband, I'm also responsible about my wife, and she also at some point needs like to hold me up. Like no, no. So that's something really we experienced this like the last 2.5 years of our marriage, and the father too. And when we have any challenges, we need to like go and like stand. It's not time to suffer and be tired. It's like just go to Jesus and have like this, be stand like strongly in behalf of our families.
Yeah, just to like reiterate or add some of the things that Ibrahim had said. I think one word that he used when he was explaining it to me is authority. That we have this authority as parents or as married people to go before Jesus. I think Nathan used the word intercede. We have the authority to take this person and bring them before Jesus, even when they aren't finding their own voice to cry out to him. Even when there's maybe a spirit that's kind of taken away that ability from them to cry out to the Lord and to find freedom from whatever it is. And even if it's been a lifelong struggle for the child or for the spouse, we still can go to Jesus and find freedom from this. And just to be really persistent in that authority and to use that authority, because I think sometimes we live in bondage and our children or our spouses live in bondage that they don't have to live in. Because we don't claim the authority that is ours in Jesus Christ. And sometimes that authority requires something more persistent like prayer and fasting, you know? Maybe it's time to pray and fast, and not just fast, you know, like a tiny bit. Maybe it's time to fast for a longer period of time. Maybe it's time to pray and fast with others and just be really persistent with God and kind of push on that. That's, I think, prayer and fasting is one thing that I've been thinking a lot about and trying to grow in the past year, and just how that really can bring a lot of breakthrough. I think there was one more thought, but I forgot what it was. So. No, and not that before I go to that topic, it was like a different one on this one. Okay, well, if I think of it, I'll say that. I just real quick wanted to share, like, that's kind of, for Ibrahim, one of the things he's been learning in the last, you know, 2.5 years. For me, I wanted to just share a verse and a testimony of what God has been sharing with me. And I think one thing that's so helpful about sharing testimonies is I think sometimes you can have like the big picture, like what Brian shared, and like, okay, this is what it's like to become mature or whatever, but it's really hard sometimes to live it out until we see it in someone else, or, you know, we hear stories or something like that. Sometimes it doesn't always click, okay, what does this verse mean for me in my life in this situation? So I think that's why it's so valuable for us to have testimonies and to share. And like, even if I've only had 2 years of experience in this particular issue, like those 2 years, God spoke something to me that he hasn't spoken to anyone else in the same way. So I can share that with you guys, and then you can share other things with me or with others. So I wanted to share from Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. And for those of us who are married, part of the calling to which we've been called is to be married and to be mature in marriage. For those of us who are parents, same thing. That's part of what God has called us to. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And so I'm especially thinking of this in terms of communication between husband and wife, between me and Ibrahim. I think that's been one of the biggest things that we've really had to grow in the first, you know, well, first being married, but then even engaged for sure, actually. And for us, it's like it was definitely a big deal because we didn't even speak the same native language. So sometimes we would say something and it just doesn't come across the way that the other person, like, you know, it doesn't mean what we meant it to mean. Because there's that language barrier. But even if there's not a language barrier, that happens. the other person doesn't understand what you said and the way that you said it. You know, you meant something to be nice or whatever, and it came across as mean. Or you meant something to be direct, and it came across as, you know, whatever. So I think just to share some sort of practical things, just a story of like things that we've had to grow in for us. I think for us, really practically, one thing that I had to really change and grow in was just like housework and the way we do it. Because it's very different expectations for the way I did things and the way Ibrahim expected things to be done, or the way that Syrians usually do things. And that was like one big thing. And then the other big thing was like appearance or dress or that sort of thing. That's like a really, really big deal for the Arab culture. And it wasn't as big a deal for me. So like Ibrahim will notice the shape of my nails or if my socks match my shoes or if I'm wearing a bracelet that day or not. I was like, what? How do you even know that? With these things, one of the things that I feel like the communication thing that I learned that was so important is to not take things personally, as in like, if he told me I want this thing to change or I want this done differently, not to take that as I am a bad wife, you know, because and that sometimes I took it that way, like, oh, I'm a bad wife because I can't do this, this, or this, but really he just meant, you know, let's do a different color towels or whatever, you know, like whatever it was, like it didn't have to... Yeah, that wasn't actually the towels that we were talking about, but it was. I think that was such a big step forward for me to just like take the suggestions as, or the things that he wanted changed as things he wanted changed, and not as like who he saw me as a wife or who God sees me as a wife. So that was kind of one of the more practical things that I had to learn. And I'm not sure, like, how much time is left, or if we need to get our kids. If there's time, I think we could pray now. But also, I think in the evening, there's prayer time, too. Especially, like, I think I'd encourage you to pray about these things where maybe there's a subject of, like, someone in your family someone in your family that you feel has been really caught in something and can't get out. I think she's going to eat that. Yeah, she opened it. That you want them to have freedom from that, and just consider that and pray for that, and just really bring that person to Jesus and consider what is the authority that God has given you to pray and to bring that person before the Lord, and don't give up, you know, even if you pray and next year keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. like the persistent widow, and God will answer. So, yeah.
So let's pray. Lord, we think of this father with the son, with the deaf and dumb spirit, and how he got the help that his son needed. And we think of the woman, and she got the help that her daughter needed. And Lord, we want to bring these people to you right now that we have in mind, and ask that they would be freed up and not stuck. That have a breakthrough, Lord. That we can't provide, but you can provide, Lord. We want to come to you in faith. Lord, we do believe, but we also stagger in unbelief sometimes, and we don't want to. So, Lord, help us that we not live in unbelief, but we come to you persistently. We come to you over and over and expectantly. Way, Lord, come expecting you to bring the answer. We don't know how it'll come, but we know that it will come. Lord, we ask that there would be breakthroughs that bring glory to you and freedom to the people who are suffering. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.